You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we, like we always do every week, we were kicking around ideas and nothing was landing. It doesn't help that neither one of our baseball teams are in the playoffs, and we're both trying to figure out what's going to happen in the spring. And so as we were idealists, because we just literally have been going crazy, we turned to our good friend, the lectionary, and we... the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, is an interesting story. One that I'm sure doesn't get preached a whole lot, or if it does, I'd be intrigued to hear those sermons. Not one that was ever on my radar for preaching this week. And Zach, what comes to mind with you as you do your thing with the gospel reading today?
Yeah, certainly. No, I think you're right. I think it gets overlooked a little bit because in the fullness of what Matthew chapter 22 is, we have, Jesus talking about taxes, questions about resurrection, and the greatest commandment, of course. And so this little bit that leads into all of that, I think really gets overshadowed by really the robustness of Matthew chapter 22 here. So I'm going to read it because I'm willing to bet. I know we're not all familiar with it, and it's a fascinating story. So here we go. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus responded by speaking again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for a son. He sent his servants to call those invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent other servants and said to them, "Tell those who have been invited, 'Look, the meal is all prepared. I've butchered the oxen and the fatted cattle. Now everything is ready. Come to the wedding party.' But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields, others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed his servants, abused them, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go to the roads on the edge of town and invite everyone you find to the wedding party.' Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding party was full of guests. Now, when the king came in and saw the guest, he spotted a man who wasn't wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to his servant, 'Tie his hands and his feet, throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Many people are invited, but few people are chosen.'" Now, Matt, when you hear that story, what sticks out to you? There's a lot.
There, I think what blew my mind, and I think you jumped on this too. It's a story. Jesus is responding to these issues that are happening, and understand, like, this is as they're making their way to the crucifixion. Like, we're only not very far. Like, even what's interesting is that the verses after this are like the Pharisees are plotting to kill Jesus, and they're looking for ways to trap him. And that was like after he tells this story.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't know. Like, I think for me, it's a sense of invitation, as we like really unpack the story. Here Jesus is really telling us that, God has prepared this for us. The kingdom of heaven is like, and you know that when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like, he's really saying, like, this is what it's really like. Like, God, who prepared a wedding party for his son, and they invited everyone, and that not everybody came. They did all these great things for him, and not everybody came. And so of course the king gets mad and sets the destroy these murderers and set their city on fire. Like, he doesn't even give him a chance for grace. He's just like, sure. You know, I spent all this money. I gave you all my food and you didn't show up. I'm going to make you pay. And instead of sending a bill, he just destroys their city. Like, ouch. But, you know, like, I think that there is a sense of grace in this as well towards the end of the story. You know, that he spotted the man and wasn't wearing wedding clothes. He said, then, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? Like, and I understand that, like, that's a cultural thing that they would have had wedding clothes. It'd be like you and me walking in on a wedding in shorts and a t-shirt, and people like, why are you here? And then I would respond because I've seen a movie Wedding Crashers, and I'm testing a theory. But, you know, he was speechless. The king was speechless, and then they throw him out into the deepest, darkest place. Like, wow. And then his last line there, people there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Like, this is harsh. If I were listening to the story, as I was with Jesus, I'd have a lot of questions for Jesus. And obviously he's not going to answer any of them.
All in parables.
All in parables. And then the real question is, if you were preaching this Sunday, Zach, what would you have to offer for your congregation?
Sure. There is a fullness of the story, right? And it's what are the redemptive qualities? But I think you're right. I think you nailed it with there's this king throwing a party. He wants to invite everybody. Nobody wants to come. And what an invitation, you know, what do we do with the invitation of grace and love extended by God? Do we accept it? Do we move away from it? You know, I definitely feel like that lands on our relationship with God, that God has with people and people have with God, and our ability or, you know, to have free will and to choose where we go and what we do with that grace. And then I think what I would preach on, I think I would touch on that. And then I think what I'd preach on at the end is when people do come to the party, how do we respond? Because that's the thing. The king says, go and find the least of these, go to the edge of the town, right? Go to where everybody we have kicked out of the city walls and put over here because we didn't want to see him. We didn't want to talk to him, but go get them, bring them here, and we'll have a party with them. And then when they show up, the king is like, oh, you're wearing shorts, get out. And how often do we do that as Christians, as the church, as communities? We are inviting people in, and when they show up, if they don't show up like us or the way that we expect them to, we tie them up and send them on their way. We throw them out into the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it happens. I hope for our listeners, this isn't a new revelation for you. This happens all the time, and it shouldn't. And I think that's part of why Jesus tells this parable in the way that he does, because it's in a line of parables talking about the kingdom of God, talking about how we treat one another, and talking about how poorly we treat one another, often by cultural rules and expectations and laws that, you know, we use to oppress people. And I think that's what Jesus is touching on here is, yeah, invitations are great. It's how you respond when people show up, or don't show up, right? There's something there also.
Yeah. And I think, like, the struggle is that, it's that attitude that we have, like, mm-hmm. in, out, around the church. You know, I've been around long enough to know, like, we have horror stories of how people have treated others, mm-hmm. in and out of the church. And it's always hard, but I think that if we can, you know, work to be better, like, you know, be hospitable, what does that mean? And I, you know, we've been wrestling with this at this church for a while. Not that they're not hospitable, they're amazing at it, but hospitality extends outside the walls of the church. Mm-hmm. 'Cause people are watching, and, you know, if we do it right, if we do our job right, you know, people are going to want to be a part of us. And I think it's the same thing with our hospitality inside the church, that, you know, why aren't people coming to church? Like, some of it is, has everything to do with the way we've treated people. And you and I both know we've had, I mean, there are, we have horror stories of how people have been treated, and good, bad, ugly, you know. I think that we have to do better. I'm not gonna lie, but I also think that, like responding to the invitation to be hospitable is just as key as it is of just saying, well, we're hospitable. Like, well, what does that mean? Unpacking that and wrestling with it.
Right. Well, and as we create space, or attempt to create space for people in a lot of different ways, inside and outside of the church, we have to be aware of how we respond when folks show up or don't show up. We have the tendency to burn things down if nobody shows up, you know. We have the tendency to throw people out if they show up in the wrong ways, rather than just creating space for people to be. And that reaches far beyond the walls of the church. That reaches deep into our societal expectations of people. And so I think you're right. I think we got to take a look at that, and how do we as people who follow Jesus and read through, you know, harsh Jesus a little bit, right? Like, yeah, he gets pretty gruff in the final chapters of Matthew.
Wouldn't you, after all this time, like you've fed 5,000 people, you've walked on water, you've, right. I mean, you've done all these great things, and here you are, like, you know, the end game, like, you know, the end of the story.
Right.
Like, I get Jesus at these last, I think that's one of the reasons why I love how the Gospels pivot. As soon as he makes that turn, and turn towards Jerusalem, how his personhood becomes more real as he's making his way to Jerusalem. He starts to become, to me, more real. Not that he wasn't real, but like,
sure,
the humanness of Jesus really comes out in these last few chapters because, well, I mean, he knows he's going to suffer greatly, right, and yet he's not for sure. Like, and I think this is the humanness of him. He's not for sure if he's really doing it. Like, is this really, like, sure, do we need to do this? Like,
right. Yeah. That, I mean, that's the question later on, is this it, right? This is the way. Is there any other way? You're right. You see that humanity come out, and almost an urgency of, I need you people to understand. I need you to hear me. I need you to quit asking for signs. I've shown you all the things. I've taught you all the things. Now listen, right?
And maybe that's why verse 14 reads like it does, is because not only has he had enough, but by gosh, I've done all this great work for you. Like, you know, are you one of the few that's really going to accept the invitation?
Sure.
You know, you and I talked about the predestination of this, that could be read into it. But I think it's more of a sense of, it's those sermons that you and I don't really like of guilting people into it. But I think that it's one of those things that sometimes we need to hear. Like, are you ready? And I think that's not a bad thing to wrestle with. But I also think, too, we do have to be careful with it. But I think we can understand that here Jesus is definitely making a definitive, are you gonna be with me in the end,
right?
So,
well, and you know, looking at it in what we understand Wesleyan grace to be, in knowing that we wake up each and every day and respond to God's grace accordingly, one way or another, I think you can read that into there, in that same question of how are we going to respond, to be moved by, move towards, move away from God's grace.
Yeah. Well, I think that's definitely a great place to land today. And so we want to encourage you to go to our website at beardedtheologians.com. We've got a lot of great content and things that you can purchase for Pastor Appreciation Month. And for Pastor Appreciation Month, we're offering a free shipping promo code, which is, was it Beardcast?
Yeah, it is Beardcast.
It is Beardcast, BEARDCAST. If you put that in the promo section, you will have free shipping. for your items. And so, you know, great, a lot of great stuff that we've put on our Teespring thing. We even have a couple new items that you haven't seen before. And so we encourage you to pick that up. And then, you know, one of the things that helps us out is if you like and share and comment on our page and even give us reviews on our wherever you're listening to this on, it helps make us more available for other people to listen to. It's a great way of sharing things. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video. And push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.